The recent rise of natural disasters worldwide has sparked a heated debate. Is climate change to blame? Learn the ultimate cause of this problem and the surprising solution that no one is discussing. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. The British and American peoples, especially the British peoples around the world, along with the American nation, have a variety of views about climate change, and I don't want to talk to you about political views today, except one, and it is a deadly, deceptive view that is going to affect every single one of us if we believe it. There was an ex-U.S. Secretary of State that recently talked about this subject on television. And he said that all of these violent storms that you see around America and the world are caused by climate change. Now, that is just about the most deadliest deception you could possibly hear, and I want to show you why. There are many others that have that view. They have it, they believe it, but today I want to bring God's view into this climate change controversy. This is about, well, let's say what it's not about. It's not about a political view. It's about a biblical view that certainly is going to affect every one of you dramatically and profoundly. It is surely one of the gravest subjects that we need to get into and talk about, and it's that most deadly climate change deception. I want to talk to you about that today. Notice Nahum 1 in verse 3. This is an end-time prophetic book, and here's what the statement is there that I want to focus on. The Eternal is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Eternal has His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. Here now is the ex-Secretary of State saying that these storms are all caused by climate change, and that's the very antithesis of what God says. When he's talking about the storms, he wants you to know that he has a great, great, profound power in the storms and the hurricanes and all of that. And he goes on to say in this book and in this verse that those storms and those violent hurricanes and the like are actually directly related to our way of life, the way we live. Now, this may seem a little strange to some people, but the greatest storm ever on this earth was Noah's flood, and it wasn't caused by climate change. It was caused because of man's sins on this earth, and though that flood covered up the peak of all the highest mountains, you talk about a violent storm. That really was one. And there was no physical evidence at all that it was coming upon the world. But there was a man by the name of Noah that was warning the world. A man by the name of Noah had a strong warning for all the world at that time. Here's what Hebrews 11 and verse 7 says about that. By faith, Noah, warned of God of all things not seen as yet, nobody saw it coming, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He condemned the world by warning them and telling them what was coming. And it was coming because of their sins. And there's no storm to ever compare with that one. Verse 6 of that same chapter says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Now that's a powerful statement there, and God expects you to prove Him on that and test Him and make sure it's true. But He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, do those who talk about climate change diligently seek God? Well, I think it's usually what I've seen anyhow is the reverse of that. They just leave God totally out of the picture. And God won't be left out. He will not be. I don't care what a trillion men say, He won't be left out. Galatians 2 and verse 20 says, "We can have the same faith that Jesus Christ had." And if we have that faith, it shows that God is rewarding us for our righteousness, our obedience to Him. But look, how many of those climate change believers do you think really diligently seek God? How many? I might just say that that climate change view that the ex-Secretary of State has destroys faith. It destroys faith, and it deprives people of those great rewards of God. Or God is a liar. Now that's what is right there in your Bible, New Testament, Old Testament, wherever you look. That view destroys our hope. Notice Job 37, verses 11 through 13. He loads the thick cloud with moisture. The clouds scatter his lightning. Verse 12, "And they turn around and round by his guidance." This is from the Revised Standard Version. "To accomplish all that he commands them." Talking about the thick clouds, the weather. God commands them to do certain things on the face of the habitable world, all over the world. Verse 13, "Whether for correction or for his land or for love, he causes it to happen." But one of the reasons he causes it to happen is because for correction. He corrects us through the weather. And there are many, many scriptures in the Bible that tell you that. Does that mean that a flood like we just recently saw in Houston, Texas, which did so much damage, could actually be for correction? Well, the Bible says it could. And you're going to have to study into that for yourself to understand. But look, if you just make that blanket statement about climate change, about it just causing all of these violent storms, you're rejecting everything God says about that subject. You're just rejecting it. I don't think those people that say that would normally always say that they're anti-God or not religious or whatever. But what they're saying is in direct conflict with what God says. And who do you think is going to prevail in that issue? We need to think about that. God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. He rewards you in a multitude of ways, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, in every way you can imagine. Notice Amos 4 and verse 7. Here's what it says in verse 7. "And also I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One place was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered," just dried up because of drought. Now, that's God controlling too much rain and too little rain. or not any rain. Floods and droughts. That's what he's talking about. And God causes it himself. Do you know why he causes it? Look at verse 8. It says, because you have not returned to me. It's about what is happening between you and God, whether we like it or not. He's the creator. He causes storms. He causes droughts. He causes violent storms. And you can't push God out of the picture. You may try, but you can't do it. And you're going to be punished by God if you do. That's very clear in the Scriptures. Very clear indeed. Psalm 91, verses 9 through 11. Because you have made the Eternal, which is my refuge, David says, even the Most High, your habitation, there shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in your ways. Now that's the way God deals with people who are diligently seeking him. Look at what God says. He'll protect you from all of the plagues. Now he does try his people and test them. But overall, he's going to protect you and bless you and reward you like you can hardly imagine. But this is you think that this ex-Secretary of State, God is in all his habitations? No, I don't think so. But God gives angels charge over us to protect us and reward us and bless us and not let us be deprived of all those blessings and all the curses that are in the world. That's what he promises, but we have to have certainly an obedience to him. And we have to and speak out when we know somebody is rejecting the very word of God himself. That is the most dangerous thing people could ever do. In Daniel 12 and verse 4, let me read that to you. Daniel is for an end time book only. For you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Okay, it's only for the time of the end. That's it. It was written only for this end time. Notice verse 9, and he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Most of the Bible and all 90% of the Bible prophecy is focused on this end time. And Daniel is exclusively for this end time. Notice Daniel 9 in verse 11. Here's what God says in this book that is specifically for this end time. And only this end time. Verse 11, yea, all Israel have transgressed your law, even by departing, that they might not obey your voice. Therefore the curse is poured out upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses. Now this is talking about all Israel, and that's a lot more than a little nation in the Middle East. And our book on the United States and Britain in prophecy will tell you that. And Israel also includes America and Britain, all the British peoples around the world, the Jewish nation in the Middle East, those three in particular in this end time, but there are nine other nations of Israel in this world. And all of that is explained in our booklet on the United States and Britain in prophecy, which we'll send you to you for nothing, for free. All of our literature is free. But what is the law of Moses that Daniel is talking about? Well, he's talking about the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, as it's called. And he says, well, it's just filled with prophecy. And he's telling you here, I want you to go back he's speaking from a book that's only for the end time, but he says, I want you to go back and check the prophecy of the first five books of the Bible. And of course, they're just filled with prophecy. So you don't have to be just content with what Daniel said. You can go back even in the first book of the Bible, Genesis 48 and 49, and it talks about what's going to happen to Israel in the latter days. And you'll see that God, the name of Israel is actually on two nations prophetically in this end time. Now you need to understand that. I'm telling you that is really critical. But you can go on and see other books in that Pentateuch are very prophetic, and I'll show you that even in this message today. Notice what it says in Daniel 9 in verse 13. As it is written in the law of Moses, that the Pentateuch again, all the first five books of the Bible, all this evil has come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Eternal of God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Verse 14, therefore has the Eternal watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. Violent storms, that type thing. For the Eternal our God is righteous in all his works which he does, for we obeyed not his voice. He loves us. He does everything to bless us, but we didn't and don't obey his voice. That's what he's concerned about. He wants to get us into his family, into his kingdom. And the only way to do that is to punish us. Just like any father will have to have some discipline for his sons and daughters. Certainly it's all done in love and has to be carefully implemented. But nevertheless, God does correct his children. He tells you that over and over. There's also an ex-president of the U.S. that has the same view as this ex-secretary of state. And here's what he said. He has the same view. He said, even as this administration joins a small handful of nations that reject the future. Now here's a person saying, well, if you reject climate change or you don't really get behind the thinking on climate change today, well, that you're rejecting the future. You have no future. If you don't believe, as this man does, in climate change, that's his view. Now, that is the exact opposite of God's view. God says you'd better get in line with his view of climate change or you don't have any future forever. Forever, he says. Now, what about that? It all gets down to this. Who do you believe, God or men? Now, if you understand the Bible, you can answer that very easily. And we all should be able to. But notice what it says in Leviticus 26. You talk about blessings from God. Listen to this. And if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, verse 4, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. In other words, God is going to give you the moderate kind of weather, the rich rain when you need it, and all of that. You're going to be given that, God says, and you're going to avoid the extremes, the violent storms that cause so much damage. God doesn't want that on this world. God is totally against that. But there's a reason why it happens, and it's all connected to how we live. It says that repeatedly in your Bible. Notice verse 5, the last part, and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. Wow, no world wars even if you obey God. Verse 6, and I will give peace in the land. You lie down, you won't be afraid. Verse 7, and you shall chase your enemies. Well, how about that? and they shall fall before you by the sword. We chase our enemies today. Britain and America are being chased in many ways. Isn't that true? You better look at what's happening in America and Britain and the whole world. Verse 8, and five of you shall chase 100, and 100 shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. Well, hell, what about a reward like that? In verse 12, and I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. I will walk among you. Man, what blessings, what rewards. God says, now if you do this, this is a prophecy. This is the prophecy that Daniel was talking about, the specific prophecy, when he said, you need to make sure you get back to the law of Moses or to the first five books of the Bible. And look what God says he'll do to you collectively or individually. He will look after you and have his guardian angels look after you. That is an absolute total promise by God, and you can prove it by living it. That's the best way and the main way to prove it. But notice what God says if you don't do that. But if you will not hearken, well then what? That's verse 14 of Leviticus 26, then verse 15, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, then verse 16, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror. Now that's even worse than rough weather. Terror? You mean God would actually appoint terror or terrorism over us to get our attention and direct our minds back to the great God, our Creator? Well, that's what your Bible says. Then verse 17, and I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. Wow, that's a tough punishment. Verse 18, and if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins, and I will break the pride of your power. Well, look, America has all kinds of power. Military might, military power. And yet, we're afraid to use it in most cases. Then verse 20, and your strength shall be spent in vain. Your soldiers will die in vain. Verse 21, and if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, well, then what? Then it goes on to say, and I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. If you'll just do what he says, you won't be borrowing from your enemies. You'll be lending to other nations. Well, now that's a great blessing. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? And here we are, over $20 trillion in debt. And who can even fathom how much that is? And how dangerous is that problem alone? God says, if you would listen to me, you would lend to other nations, not the reverse of that. What a blessing that is. And we wouldn't have that atrociously high interest rate to pay. And he said, if you go ahead and do those things, you shall be delivered from your enemy. You'll be delivered from him. But he says, look, you don't have any power to stand. You don't have any power to stand unless you're looking to God. We let little North Korea cause us to tremble. And that's all orchestrated by China. And we're really, because we don't have pride in our power and real courage, we're afraid to tell China that's what's happening. But that's exactly what's happening. They provide the livelihood of that nation of North Korea. Or half a nation, but we still let them do nothing to rein in North Korea because, well, one day we're going to see they're orchestrating all that. And North Korea, well, they were just the puppet. But God says, look, if you'll just listen to me, I'm telling you, I will reward you for being diligently seeking me. I will reward you mightily. I'll give you all the blessings you could even imagine if you'll just listen to what I tell you. And a lot of those blessings come in the form of storms and not having storms. And that's what we need to be very concerned about. Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
The recent rise of natural disasters worldwide has sparked a heated debate. Is climate change to blame? Learn the ultimate cause of this problem and the surprising solution that no one is discussing. Catastrophic nature-related phenomena are forcing their way into the headlines with troubling frequency. Are earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis, superstorms, floods, droughts, and wildfires actually increasing? If so, is it merely coincidence? Or is there a cause? Request our free booklet, Why Natural Disasters, to prove that climate change is not the cause. In fact, no examination of physical data will ever reveal the true cause. Both religion and science struggle to explain why natural disasters happen. There is an answer, however, and it can be found in the pages of your Bible. You need to understand. Read Why Natural Disasters to learn about the great creator God who controls the weather. Discover what human beings can do to escape the tragic results of weather catastrophes. You will also receive a copy of our free booklet, Does God Exist? Lost in the squabble over climate change is the opinion of the Almighty God who created weather. To truly uncover the solution to weather's disasters, one must first prove God's existence. If God exists, He must reign supreme over the entire material universe. He must have the power to manipulate the elements, to use the weather to carry out His will. Can the existence of God be scientifically proved? Where did the first life come from? Can we know whether God possesses mind power? If God exists, does He expect anything from the human beings created in His likeness? Answer all these questions and more by reading Does God Exist? All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request Why Natural Disasters and Does God Exist? Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629.